Good morning to you all. I want to thank you for your company today. This conference focused on presenting the financial results of Grupo Argos at the end of first quarter 2022. In this space, we have Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Pedreita, Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Finances for Grupo Argos, Rafael Oliveira, Vice President of Corporate Matters of Grupo Argos, Mauricio Osa, President of Audensa, Maria Clara Distizabal, Manager of the Urban Development Business, and Pablo Arroyave, Vice President of Corporate Finances for Audensa. So the conference is being translated into English simultaneously. In addition, we want to remind you all that on our website, you have available all the information regarding this quarter, together with the presentation that we'll be following during this teleconference. To download it, you can access the menu, financial information, and afterwards into the reports section. I want to invite you now to move on to slide number 3 of the presentation in order to start this meeting, for which I want to give the word to Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Juan Esteban. Thanks to all the investors and shareholders that are with us today. We want to send a warm greeting and thank you for being with us. At this conference, we will be speaking of the main elements of the first quarter results for 2022. I want to begin by saying that the year started with an extremely powerful dynamic for the Grupo Argos businesses, and that dynamic was clearly reflected in the financial results. The figures that we reached in this first quarter of the year are further than a post-pandemic recovery, a typical post-pandemic recovery, given that some of those assets that were affected the most during the strict lockdowns, such as the Bogota airport or the Tuna de Oriente, reached operational figures that are historic, that actually exceeded the expectations, and that added to a planned and systematic work, almost obsessive work for a better operational efficiency, are translated today in important growths in terms of profitability. We shall note that many of these achievements are more structural, and these are based in methodologies and structured work through the different processes within our businesses. And because of this, it's pretty feasible for them to be maintained in time and for them to become a competitive advantage, a sustainable competitive advantage that will be sustainable and will be a differentiator for the way we manage our assets. El Dorado Airport had the best March in its history, mobilizing 2.9 million passengers, while Tuna de Oriente is mobilizing currently around 35,000 vehicles per day, figure that we expected reaching, according to the forecast we had when we purchased this asset, around 2033. Now, this situation has led, in addition, to begin conversations with the grantors, in this case would be the Antioquia department, in order to plan the expansion of this asset. And we will be speaking about this further on, if you consider, during the Q&A session. We could give a bit more detail about this. I would begin by saying that the consolidated results of our operations allowed to close the quarter with a revenue of 4.6 trillion pesos, growing at 24% compared with the same previous last year, with an EBITDA of 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos, so with an increase of 28%. And by its side, the net profit closed in 315 billion Colombian pesos with a 65% increase. The controller net profit was doubled compared with the previous year, reaching 161 billion Colombian pesos. We'll be speaking about the details of the different businesses now, the main terms of how the different lines are behaving and main variables that affect the profitability and consolidation of our group. And we could drill down to more detail if you consider so. So now I want to invite you to go over the results of the construction material business. This is found on slide number 5. During March, we closed this investment that we had announced of 23 concrete plants in two clusters, both in North Carolina and in Southeast Florida, that operated in suburban markets that were not directly integrated in our logistics and production chain. And because of this, these were operations where the profitability were not reaching the objectives that we had set. This operation, besides, generated $93 million in terms of cash revenues for Cementos Argos. That added to the work that had already been executed in terms of optimizing the capital structure, allowed maintaining net debt EBITDA ratio of 2.9 times, which is translated into larger financial flexibility and a better competitive position. In operational terms, the volumes reached 3 million tons this quarter. It's a similar figure compared with the previous year, but I would like to highlight a very important growth of a 7% in the United States market, which is compensated negatively with the reductions mainly in Central America and in the Caribbean, given to lower dynamics in certain markets, specific markets, but more specifically in the case of Haiti. It's a country that has been affected by external social situations that we expect to be stabilized in the close future, and this did allow the continuous dispatch and in the normal conditions and cement dispatch, speaking of. This situation has been practically solved, and we do expect that the volumes will be recovered shortly or briefly. And we will exclude the contribution of those plants that were disinvested in the United States. The concrete dispatches would be 6% higher, meaning by this reaching 1.9 million cubic meters of concrete. Revenues coming from these dispatches in the quarter accumulated 2.6 trillion Colombian pesos with an 11% annual growth, with an EBITDA of 446 billion Colombian pesos. That's stable. It's kept stable despite the increase in costs at the beginning of 2022. And obviously, this is supported in the disinvestment contribution of those concrete plants in the United States that I have previously mentioned. The company maintains an optimal competitive position derived from its logistics network and its self-supply capacity in terms of clinker. This is competitive advantages that the company has been constructing for decades that will allow the company benefiting from a better attention in the markets, but of a much more efficient supply. That's especially relevant in a market where the costs increase and are exercising an important pressure over the profitability of these businesses. It's also important to highlight that within that line in the United States region, we've seen a positive increase in terms of sale price for cement, close to $10 year after year, with additional expectations of additional increases in Texas, such as in markets such as Texas and Southeast of the United States, that are being announced between the month of April and the month of June. These increases, once implemented, will allow to compensate the cost increase in terms of fuel and distribution that we have observed in this market. Similar situation has been happening in regions of Colombia and Central America, where the competitive position of Argos logistics network, value of the brand, and position both in the retail as the construction market, has allowed the company exercising a very important leadership and the mobility of the sales price, which, as it was announced by the cement result, allows us to keep the forecast projection for all the year. So, meaning by this, the company is absorbing the cost increases, more specifically in terms of fuels and raw material, so we can keep the objective profitability at the end of the year. Now I want to invite you to go over the results of the energy business. Celse began the year with a favorable climate and rate conditions that allowed closing the quarter with the largest hydroelectric generation of its history and selling at the same time energy in the stock exchange at prices that were much better than what we had in previous periods. The energy business continued with the powerful investment plan that up to this point of the year, at 355 billion Colombian pesos that have been executed. Major part of this CAPEX has been destined to the energy transmission platform known as Caoba and the solar energy platform known as C2E. These are platforms where, joined with Cubico Sustainable Investments, we have an ambitious expansion plan, as we have previously mentioned these firms. In addition, we've kept the investment for the expansion and improvement of the actual operations in both in El Valle as well as in El Tolima, with investments that totalized 75 billion Colombian pesos in the quarter. Besides improving the service and failure indicators, we could have a better co-profit on this asset. So we have in terms of generation distribution. Speaking about the results, the generated energy for this period was of 1,645 MWh, and the commercialized was 913,000 MWh, with a growth of 18.4% compared with the previous period. The growth in generation and commercialization added to the better energy prices and rate prices that are indexed with the consumer price index that's known as IPP were reflected in the financial results as historically high for the company. I also want to highlight that the demand, both as non-regulated and regulated segments, keep showing positive growing dynamics. The quarter revenues closed in 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos with an increase of 34% year after year, leveraged, as I mentioned before, in a larger generation, a better energy price, and better rates in terms of distribution and commercialization. The result in EBITDA reached 455 billion Colombian pesos, which is equal to an annual growth of 35%, led mainly by the positive contribution of all the Colombian businesses. Not the businesses, but more specifically Colombia. The EBITDA for Colombia was of 417 billion Colombian pesos with a 44% growth, while the Central American one reached 38 billion Colombian pesos with a decrease of 20%, given that this time of the year is the driest term of the year, which affected the hydraulic generation. That's the main energy matrix for Celse in Panama. The increase in terms of energy purchases in the spot market at a higher price. The EBITDA margin for the quarter was 34.7% with an improvement of 43 basis points compared with the same period last year. Let's move on and visit the road and airport concession business. You can find this on slide nine. This business segment, as well as the energy segment, presented very positive results with traffic increases and increases in financial results. I want to highlight the performance of OPAE, which concessions the airport of El Dorado. Given that, as I mentioned during the introduction, El Dorado Airport not just recovered, but closed March with a traffic that's 7% higher than what we recorded in 2019. In financial terms, the airport recorded an EBITDA of 91 billion Colombian pesos for the quarter, growing 11% compared with the same period 2019, and a net profit of 21 billion Colombian pesos. So this means 4.1 times higher than what we recorded in the same period 2019. So you might see that not just March was historically high, the accumulated level are recovered at post-pandemic levels, and revenues and the EBITDA results exceed the ones we had in 2019. Besides this, I wanted to add and emphasize on the fact that in addition to this good results that we've been obtaining in the opening balance, that as you know, it's consolidated in the numbers of Grupo Argos, that you know, this is numbers, but in Grupo Argos numbers. This is important to highlight the agreement that the company reached with the grantor in order to extend, as we've mentioned, almost 3 years, the period of the concession that initially expired in 2027 in order to extend it towards 2030. This additional value, this additional revenues, this additional EBITDA and profit is not reflected today in our financial reports. And it will be an additional revenue that we'll be able to observe once this moment comes closer. But what we achieved was an extension that didn't have a counterparty in terms of paying to the government, but a recovery of that detriment that we had during the closure that we had during 2020 with the lockdown, 2021 and 2020. Before moving into the financial results, I also want to remember that this quarter the company stopped consolidating the Dominican Republic roads, the Nordeste Autopista, and the BTA. These were disinvested in December last year, operation which allowed Odinsa reducing the indebtedness of the company in a significant manner, going from 3 to 1.9 billion Colombian pesos, being able to lead a larger growth capacity to that better financial flexibility and the possibilities of capturing the project opportunities that arise in Colombia. The total traffic of the road concessions for Odinsa closed in 104,000 vehicles daily, which represent a 9% reduction year after year, but an increase of 17% if we exclude the effect of the contribution that ADN and BTA had over the balance. So in comparable terms, in terms of growth, is 17%. From its side, the airport traffic closed in 8.8 million passengers, a figure that doubles the figure that we had recorded in the first quarter 2021. At a revenue level, EBITDA improves a reduction due to the exclusion of ADN and BTA, but nevertheless, when we compare the quarters, eliminating the effects of the disinvestment concessions, the revenues grow 53% and EBITDA grows 79%. In addition, it's also important to highlight, as I previously mentioned, that the results that we see in Odinsa do not consolidate Alpine, given that this asset is consolidated at a Grupo Argos level. Because of this, the total registered or recorded EBITDA in the concession business at a Grupo Argos level grew 39% year after year and closed the period with 438 billion Colombian pesos, with a growth of 178 billion Colombian pesos in terms of the opening contribution, compensating the impact of the disinvestment that we had in those DR assets. It's also important to highlight the totality of the revenues that come from the disinvestment of those DR assets have been already received, and with them, we've started paying liabilities, dividends, and equity contributions for the project from the company side. Now, I want to invite you to move on to slide number 11, so we can see the positive and recurrent performance that we have been observing in the real estate business. The real estate dynamic is still very positive, gives me a very positive. The first quarter of the month, we renewed contracts for 47,000 square meters and we commercialized 39,000 square meters in addition. As a result, the fund reached a portfolio occupation, non-hotel portfolio occupation of 95%, with an increase of almost 400 basic points compared with the same period last year. The sectors that had the largest recoveries were trade and hotels, with revenue increases of 19 and 116%. In the Gran Plaza shopping malls, traffic and sales presented increases of 48 and 42% year after year. Finally, the hotel segment reached a revenue level per available rooms of 12% higher of what we recorded same period 2019 before the pandemic. This effect still presents certain figures that need time in order to be consolidated in equal conditions as we had pre-pandemic conditions. The last 12 months, Pactia has, as we announced to the market, made a series of disinvestments that implied a reduction of 3% in the rentable gross area, but at the same time allowed reducing 14% its gross debt. Company closed the quarter with revenues of 98 billion Colombian pesos and EBITDA 53 billion Colombian pesos that grossed 22 and 40% compared with the same period last year. The same dynamic that has been driven by Grupo Argos, not just in Pactia, but in all its businesses. It follows the definition that we have of allocating capital in all the businesses in order to be to assure that we could invest them in assets that will ensure the highest profitability for our shareholders. Now, urban development business, I want to invite you now just take a glimpse of the very favorable results that we had the first quarter of the real estate business. With a net positive net cash flow and a positive EBITDA, I'm going to show a very satisfactory results. This seasonality dynamic of the business makes the first quarter a challenging quarter because this is the quarter where we pay the real estate taxes for all our landlords. So having said this, is twice as satisfactory, reaching a positive cash flow and a positive EBITDA after the amortization of the totality of the real estate taxes over the totality of the terrain block. So one quarter we paid all of the taxes for the year, and we had positive flows and a positive EBITDA. These good results are explained thanks to a reduction of 11% and the certification process for the Four Seasons Hotel in Baru. This business was signed in November last year, required the timely management of the license from the Cartagena authorities. This was approved last year, and once we complied with all, we could sell and structure the project. About the Baru projects, I would like to mention that the Casablanca Sofitel Hotel was recently recognized as one of the best new hotels of the world by Condé Nast Traveler, which keeps us very optimistic, not just over the performance of this asset, but over the development master plan of the Baru Island. In addition, during the first quarter this year, we also had a purchase sale promise in Barranquilla for 17 billion Colombian pesos for a housing project, from which in this quarter we're receiving a revenue of 5 billion Colombian pesos. Businesses that were made out during the business allowed the company closer with a positive cash flow, a net cash flow, even incorporating the payment of 21 billion Colombian pesos of real estate taxes. Consolidated results. Now I want to invite you to move on and check the consolidated results of Grupo Argos on slide number 14, where we could see the added effect of the positive effect of each one of our businesses during the quarter. Revenues reached 4.6 trillion Colombian pesos during the period, which represents an increase of 24% compared with the same period, 2021. Largest level of sales is translated in an EBITDA increase that closed in 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos with a growth of 19% year-over-year when we eliminate the disinvestment effect from these concrete plants in the United States. The net profit grew even larger proportions, recording a pro forma figure of 286 billion Colombian pesos with a 50% growth and a net profit from the pro forma controller of 147 billion Colombian pesos, doubling the figure that we had recorded in the same period last year. This is in pro forma terms, right? This has eliminated the seasonal effect of the disinvestment of the concrete plants in the United States market, so we can compare this between both periods. I would also like to highlight that thanks to a disciplined and coordinated execution of capital allocation in our businesses, as well as the selective asset disinvestment of those where we didn't obtain the best return, we observed in the first quarter of 2022 an ROCE that reached 9.96% with a substantial improvement compared with 2021, which remunerates the capital costs even in an environment with a notorious WACC increase. The operational discipline that leads to better results and the correct capital allocation become the value generation levers for Grupo Argos that we could proudly share with the market and with our shareholders. Moving on to slide 15, we could see the variation in terms of the contribution of each one of our businesses in terms of revenues and the consolidated EBITDA. In these graphs, we can clearly see the good performance of all the businesses within the company, which are representing operational growth as well as financial growth. If the cement business, as I explained before, presented a reduction in the EBITDA contribution given the cost increase that we mentioned previously, the perspectives of this business are very favorable, and we forecast a positive change in this contribution supported in the price increases and the good commercial dynamic that I have previously mentioned. Now I want to invite you to move on to slide number 17 for us to analyze the evolution of the consolidated indebtedness of the company. On this front, we want to highlight the amortization that has happened during the last 12 months that reaches 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos, achieving a reduction of 9% in the consolidated gross debt and a 10% in the consolidated net debt, going from 17.4 to 15.8 trillion Colombian pesos. The largest part of the indebtedness reduction is led by Cementos Argos and Odenza, that together they add 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos, given the strategy of reducing the leveraging with the operational cash flow and the non-strategic asset disinvestment. From another side, Celsia improved its leverage indicators, moving from a net debt EBITDA ratio from 3.2 in March to 3x in March 2022, thanks to the EBITDA growth, allowing using additional debt in order to fund investments in absolutely profitable projects that the company is going for. It's also worth mentioning that the growth of inflation and at its time of indexation rates for the debt that had a seasonal effect affected the financial expense of the period, closing 277 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 28% compared with the same period last year. The separated financial results, as well as in consolidated financial results, we recorded important growth. Pro forma revenues closed in 207 50 billion Colombian pesos, EBITDA in 184 billion Colombian pesos, and the net pro forma profit in 157 billion Colombian pesos with 33% year-after-year. Separate debt for Grupo Argos, that's detailed on slide 22, closed the quarter in 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos, with an expiry of 94% of the facility credits of 2023, which grants the company financial flexibility and allows the company in closing with financial indicators, with healthy financial indicators and aligned with the current credit rating. The debt cost closed in 8.1%, which represent an increase compared with the March rate of 2021. Nevertheless, this increase is lower than the inflation increase, thanks to the implemented strategy from the treasury offers in order to anchor lower financial costs through inflation coverages by fixed rate. If the company had not implemented the strategy, the financing rate would be 9.5%. This means 140 basis points higher than the current one. In order to close the financial chapter, I'm glad to announce that the S&P Global rating company increased the Grupo Argos rating from double A plus with a positive outlook to a triple A. With this company has the best rating, both by Fitch Ratings as well as Standard & Poor's. I would like to end with a comment about sustainability. This topic during the first quarter, we published a work that I would invite those that are interested to visiting. It's found on the company's webpage. Those that wanna drill down a bit more on it, we could give you more context of the company, of the team led by Camilo Abello and all the sustainability team, which is known as added value to society. The parts are from a standardized exercise that has been made with the best practices with other global companies in order to evidence not just the economic profit that has been retained, but also the positive or negative results with which the company impacts society. In this study, we could see that in 2021, Argos granted or gave society $154.5 million, which is equal to 3.8x the retained profitability by the company. Those that have an interest on this could read more about this and could share their opinions with us. This report allows us to have a cross-cutting look on how we retain, add, or reduce value, and gives us information that's very useful to take more responsible and more educated decisions in order to better manage the risks that the company faces, but more specifically, in order to be transparent with all our groups of interest. All this work has been done with the end of guaranteeing the cross-cutting value creation, the long-term value creation, while we construct towards the solution of the global current challenges. This also leads to avoid errors or omissions that might affect the performance of our portfolio. Before closing, I wanna briefly mention the decision that the board of Grupo Argos took of not purchasing the OPA, both for Grupo Sura as well as Grupo Nutresa. For this decision, the independent members of the board bear in mind technical and strategic analysis presented by JPMorgan and other advisors in between other considerations. As we've mentioned publicly, Grupo Argos will continue supporting Grupo Sura and Grupo Nutresa in order to concrete announced initiatives by these companies, tending to maximize the value for our, the shareholders. We want to reiterate the commitment we have with our shareholders in order for them, for you to be the ones who receive the fundamental value of these companies and of its investment portfolio. Finally, I wanna close by reassuring the trust that Grupo Argos has in the country and optimistic view, driven by the opportunities that we've been identifying from the infrastructure sector. essential for productivity and the development of Colombia. With this trust, and under the key premise of a value generation for our shareholders and the strategy that we're executing in order to consolidate ourselves as an infrastructure asset manager, we'll be able to drive the growth of our businesses, drive the profitability, and at the same time, the revelation of fundamental value for all our shareholders. Now, I want to give the word to Juan Esteban Mejía, who I want to congratulate being named as Investor Relationship Manager. And I also want to thank Natalia Gudero, who left the organization due to personal reasons. And to all, we all owe a gratitude, and I want to thank her for the wonderful work executed for many years. Just want to thank her. And Juan Esteban, our congratulations. And let me give him the floor so he can open the Q&A session. Well, thank you, Jorge, for your words. Just remind all the attendees that in the conference we have the Q&A widget enabled, and you can ask any questions that you might have through this tool. We have been receiving some, so we'll be answering them by order. First of all, we have a question of Rodrigo Sanchez from Corredores de Vivienda. Question goes as follows. Could you give us an update of, first, the ROCE expectation that you have for 2022, two, consolidated capital cost, three, weighted WACC estimate for the group, considering the recent changes that you've had in certain of your components, more particularly in the cost of the debt. Okay, this is a very complete question, and announcing some of the elements, let me give the word to Alejandro Piedraita so he could speak about these figures in more detail. How has this been advancing in terms of the ROCE expectation and the variations we've had with the previous year, capital costs, and the effects this has had over the WACC? Of course, Jorge, and do you guys follow? Testing 1, 2, 3, okay, perfect. Thank you for that question. Effectively, the ROCE that we have up to March 2022 closed almost in a 10% versus a 6.64%. Obviously, the capital cost, consolidated capital cost for Grupo Argos was increasing 130 basic points. Our capital cost last year was close to 8.22%. Today, our capital cost with no taxation benefit is 1.26. Excuse me for this technicism, but given that we calculate this under taxes, or before taxes, this is not the traditional WACC. But this is why without no taxation and taxation benefits, if we compare this with taxation benefits, it's lower, of course, but just from a methodological point of view. What is our goal then? Our goal, clearly, from a result point of view, is for us to close at a group of Argos levels, our ROCE in between 5 to 10%, and the capital cost, obviously, depending on the market conditions, we've estimated without the taxation benefit between 8.5 and 9.5%. If you look at the results at a business level, in the case of Cementos Argos, we're estimating that we have an ROCE close or even larger than 9% with a capital cost that's estimated of 8.8%. So we are forecasting in the case of cement that will be reaching a return over our capital cost without taxation benefit. In the case of Celsia, we're estimating an ROCE that could be possibly around 10, 6, 10, 5% with a capital cost without the taxation benefit that would be around 7, 8. That's the lowest capital cost that we have within the organization, given the type of business, types of bidders that we manage. In the case of Odensa, we're estimating an ROCE of 9.3% with a capital cost that's close to 8.6%. And on the Q, what we saw is an ROCE higher, reaching a 12% almost, with a higher capital cost, that's at 10.7%. But this has to do with the measure that Odin said, lower its leveraging capacity. And the capital structure today implies that the weighing of the equity cost is higher than the debt cost. So that's where we have the transitory effect, where we have a higher capital cost without taxation benefits. So this is a detailed explanation in terms of ROCE and capital cost. Well, thank you, Alejandro. I guess with that, we answer your question, Rodrigo. Well, perfect. Then, second question is from Rodrigo Sanchez. It's about Odin's projects. When are you expecting to know if you got a Magdalena Una project, and do you have any expectations in terms of the new project for the Cartagena Airport? Okay, let me give the word to Mauricio here. He is here with us. Mauricio, let me suggest I give a bit of context of the participation in Magdalena Uno and the project and the investment and the structure. How is it going? And where is the project in terms of the airport expansion? Well, thank you, Jorge Mario. Greetings to you all. We presented to the Magdalena Uno project with a consortium that was built by Mario Huertas and Pavimentos Colombia. It's the one, it's the only 100% consortium, Colombian consortium of the different consortiums that presented to the project. Magdalena Uno is one of the most attractive projects that we have right now that's still being granted. We all know the relevance that this road corridor has for arterial project, as we could call it, for the country, and the way ANI is structured, it allows to adequately allocate the risks. The granting date is for the 25th of May, next week. The states are controlled and coordinated, but until the moment, we have not heard of any delays. But if everything runs according to the plan, it will happen the 25th of May. That date, we will know if we were granted, if we got the project or not. In terms of the Cartagena Airport, the new Cartagena Airport, let me share with you all the following thing. That airport that pretends scaling the level of the Cartagena development, given the competitiveness of the airport right next to the sea, and what this means for the airport world, moving passengers in areas such as Central America, southeast of the United States, or even longer travels besides the industries that the airport can move in terms of cargo, such as e-commerce. It's an airport that has been better received by all the national institutionality and local institutionality. That train of thoughts, we are managing from a national government point of view, three projects that have been named as strategic, that count with the support of all from Atlántico and from Magdalena, which is El Canal del Dique, that's being granted. And this airport, it's also a private initiative. In terms of the timeline for the project, it's almost about to finish its feasibility stage. There's an evaluator report granting the compliance of all the phases. The socialization processes with the communities, they have ended already. We're working on creating a harmonious relation with all the neighbors, with a thought for the airport to be. One of them is the Centenary Project of the Santo Domingo Foundation. is a very relevant project within the region. Having said this, the expectation that we have is that for the end of this year, we should have ended the national planning stages in order for the project to be granted on 2023.
Okay, thank you, Mauricio. That was very clear.
Till when do we have the Rafael Nunes Airport extension? The Rafael Nunes Airport, according to the information we have, current one should end December this year. There's no exact date because given to the recovery curve in terms of passengers, it's worth saying the recovery of the Cartagena passengers have been incredible. It's growing under two digits compared with the figures we had in pre-pandemic. So this would be November, December this year. And this time, we would have a private initiative coming in. This would last 6 years, pretends decorating the infrastructure. That's infrastructure that's susceptible to improvements in the current terminal. So making some additional parking positions and placing some boarding tunnels in order to have easier access to certain planes. But it has a certain time that it takes, and that's what the building of the airport takes. Perfect, Juan Esteban. We have an additional question from Daniel Guardiola from BTG Pactual. Good morning. This year, we're expecting a significant increase in the dividends coming partly from Odin's allowing the company having excess between the received dividends and the paid dividends. In this train of thoughts, I would like to ask, which are the priorities in terms of allocation with this capital excess? Warm greeting to Daniel. I would ask Alejandro, as Daniel is saying, we'll have a super added position in terms of the dividends. Fundamental part comes due to the increase of Odin's, as it was been mentioned already. This is a dividend close of 400 billion Colombian pesos, a bit less than 400 billion Colombian pesos. And I'll ask Alejandro can place those as exact figures. But besides this supporting the proper growth of dividends of all the rest of the businesses, not just the operational businesses, but also the portfolio businesses that had growth close to a 30%. As we've mentioned before, the company has been observing several possible sources of capital, but the usages that will be the most appropriate and adequate for the value generation. Within them, I want to highlight the leverage and reduction. We've been, as I just mentioned this conference call, and as I mentioned previously, in the development of the systematic strategy of reducing leveraging, not just consolidated one, but also the separate one for Grupo Argos. Dividends, once again, are part of the set of result and cash flow bucket. And because of this will allow to keep on reducing the leveraging of the company. Second, we have two additional options of capital allocation in terms that we have new opportunities or for new business opportunities, energy or in concessions mainly, and that eventually within the development of this business initiatives would require equity contributions. Grupo Argos would be in the capacity of supporting its businesses in order to do so. And finally, well, we always have the possibility that we've approved of making a reacquisition of shares in a certain moment. And I want to clarify that this has been approved by the assembly. It's not yet being ruled by the board, but it's a possibility that the company has. But under those three main
lines, we have a capital allocation seeking to maximize the return to the shareholders. Let me give the word to Alejandro so he can concrete the figures. Of course, Jorge. Daniel, thank you very much for your question. I don't know if you followed properly. Just one, two, three, you do. Our cash flow, in a certain way, very transparent, as it was presented in each quarter, has three components. Operational cash flow, where we have the dividends, and here I'll be giving a bit of context, investment cash flow, and financing cash flow. These are three components. In the operational cash flow, where we have the dividends, if you look at the totality of the received dividends that we project for this year, precisely as Daniel mentioned, well, they go from having from 2021, we had for the concept revenues close to 480 billion Colombian pesos. This year, this figure is higher than 1 billion pesos. So we'll have 1 trillion Colombian pesos of revenues. If we add the revenue to the real estate development business, we're speaking of a number higher than 20 billion Colombian pesos. 100 billion Colombian pesos, sorry. And if we reduce, when we subtract real estate business or the management for Grupo Argos and the paid dividends that are between 326 billion Colombian pesos, we'll end with an operational cash flow close to 760 billion Colombian pesos, approximately. If we remove taxes, we're speaking of a cash flow after taxes that's close to 690 billion Colombian pesos that we have as excess. So this allows us to use from that cash for the investments that Jorge mentions, depending a little bit on the different conditions that might arise from a cash flow, a financing cash flow point of view. What we have here is that effectively we have some financial expenses. We have some functioning expenses related with debt. This is a value that's around 120 billion Colombian pesos approximately, which gives us that if we wouldn't have that those investments, we could reduce the leveraging level from 1.47 billion Colombian pesos to 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos to 690 billion Colombian pesos, reducing the debt under 1 trillion Colombian pesos. So this will allow us to have an improvement at 0.9 times. What's been happening in terms of our credit conditions that we took in the past and the efficiency, we practically have the excesses. It's more profitable grabbing that excess, investing it in the market due to the exchange rate, and that profitability is higher than the interest that we're paying. So facing the excess that we have a positive carry that we are using right now to pay the interest rates that in this moment, under the current conditions, don't give us the incentives to reduce the leveraging levels. But let me repeat once again, this allows us to have flexibility. We have 500 billion Colombian pesos. So we determine if we reduce debt according to the market conditions and depending on the new product conditions, as Jorge says, we could use them in a certain moment. So we have that capacity and we have that financial flexibility that don't have any type of pressure because we have no expired days in the short term and that have been approved by the Standard & Poor's rating that we had last year where we're once again rated as a AAA company. Okay, in addition, we have Daniel Guardiola asking for an update of the SIC of strategic business partners for Grupo Argos or from the other holdings where Grupo Argos has a non-controlling participation. And two, if you could give us an update about the initiatives to unblock value in the cement business and in the infrastructure business. Okay, Daniel, I'll be speaking about Grupo Argos. And then I'll leave every company that has made announcements about this. I could speak about this. So Sura about theirs. And address about theirs too. I'll be speaking about Grupo Argos, and I can start by the second part. In the strategy that we've expressed, there's a component. There's two components. One I'll call organic component, and the other one I'll call inorganic component. The organic component has to do with all those initiatives focused on reducing costs, reducing expenses, making companies more agile and more efficient. And simultaneously speaking, making a process led by the holding where we make an attractiveness and extraction capacity, value extraction capacity from us as investors in the different businesses. With that matrix, the company has been promoting within its different businesses an optimization of the capital allocation in the different operational businesses. Product of this conversation, we have these investments that you might see in some or others that happen through time. This list I'll call the organic list of value extraction, which is a list that goes through the optimization of the cash flow of the operational businesses, and second, by maximizing the ROCE, meaning by this, the return that we've invested in each one of those businesses. That, as we showed earlier, within the figures, it has been working adequately. So there's a great part that's the organic work. It's systemic, it's organized, it's articulated between all the businesses of Grupo Argos, led as strategic architect by Grupo Argos, intending to maximize flows and returns of the business. This is obviously the fundamental value for every holding. Second initiative has to do with what I call inorganic, and it's not because it's acquisitions, but it's because it has to do more with how are we organized and how do we deliver our investors different mechanisms where the share might have a more liquid types of markets and where we don't have the constraints that we have in markets such as the Colombian market that we have spoken in detail for some time now. So let me speak about those in the orders that Daniel spoke. And cement business. Today, as it's been announced by Juan Esteban and the team, and I can reiterate this, has a committee where we have some people of the board, more particularly Alejandro Piedrahíto, who speaks to you, Jorge, and in order to align all the activities that are required in order to have the company ready so we can list or we can have ready the North American assets in that market. No further than fourth quarter 2022. This project that involves more than 1,000 activities, all types of activities for different types of norms, such as SOX, it's advancing under a pretty good dynamic, and I can ratify what has been mentioned previously too, that we expect for the company to be completely ready in order to seek for that path in the last half of 2022. Obviously, we'll have to look for the moment and the market opportunities that for them to be attractive. What I want to say is that through that path, there's a very clear signal of value materialization, given the importance of the North American operational asset that Grupo Argos has. So first of all, that chapter is advancing under schedule and or according to schedule, and there's no activity that has become a bottleneck. Obviously, we'll have to look at the behavior of the market in its due moment. Second initiative that has to do with the organization of assets, same asset class, infrastructure asset class, airports, roads, distribution, transmission, energy generation, and real estate profit advances also through And according to schedule, the company has hired financial advisors, legal and taxation financial advisors, and together with the sales and Audiencia teams and the real estate teams, we're analyzing the better alternatives in order to achieve the largest taxation benefits, operational benefits, and attractiveness for that vehicle to the different investors. This work is not designed for the first quarter of 2022, for it to be at the design stage that will advance through the companies that we have already hired. In the second semester, it will be a semester of implementing the conclusions that we'll reach in the first quarter. So in that term, we're also positively advancing. And in terms of the mechanisms that we have, in terms of bringing in new business partners for different infrastructure vehicles, this has been moving still positively, both in energy as well as in concessions. I don't want to make more comments about this till and for until it's not a publicly announced process, but the presence of Cubico and Celsia is finding a pretty good dynamic. The presence of Macquarie in the road concession and business is finding a very good dynamic, and with an expectation of a formal closure of the negotiation during May. So all these chapters are advancing according to what we've planned. So, Daniel, as being consequent with the market and according to what we announced, the initiatives are being structured, developed, and planned for them to be executed within those times that we have specified. Jorge, under the same train of thoughts, from the same line of the next question and the infrastructure vehicles, we're being asked by Stefania Mosqueda from Credicorp Capital if we can give her more detail about the Macquarie business. Of course, yes, but I'd like Mauricio or Pablo to answer this question if they could work on this and where is the business headed towards. And speaking about the fundamentals of the investment, Mauricio or Pablo, any of both. Thank you, Jorge. Thank you, Stefania, for your question. If you allow me, I'll suggest doing this jointly. Pablo can drill down the details you just mentioned. Yeah, it's May, the end day, but it's May 31st. So we want for it to be since the 1st of June when the Audiencia platform is running already. All those conditions for the closure, all those authorizations that Pablo will be speaking about in more detail, to which we have access to in order to materialize this operation, has been complying according to schedule. Today, we have the most important authorizations coming from the financial superintendency, from the society superintendency, from ANI, allowing us to grant part of the position we have or cede part of the position that we have and how we I would say that Pablo, maybe you could give a bit more detail in a minute, but we will be meeting that date, 31st of May and the 1st of June. We would be starting the creation of this private capital fund specialized in roads and jointly with Audiencia and Macquarie. Yes, Mauricio, the only thing I would add is in terms of authorizations or in the only thing that we are missing is the approval of the Túnel de Oriente. Remember, it was bonds were issued last year. So we're speaking with them. And we are easy that from here to 31st of May, we could reach this agreement with the lender. Lenders, the approval from Pacífico Dos lenders, Natopista del Café lenders, from Maya Mía del Beta, grantors from Odinsa, lenders from ANI, from different entities. So we're ready to close the 31st of May and for the private capital fund to start operating, because remember, this association will be materialized through a private capital fund, which sponsors will be Odinsa to a 50% and Macquarie to a 50%, and this will start from the 1st of June. Oh, perfect, Pablo. Thank you. We have one last question from Juan Camilo Dauber from Valores Bancolombia, also about the concession business. And he asks for more detail from the Malla Vial del Meta. When are you planning on starting executions? And when do you plan executing this next year? Or how much are you planning to execute next year? Sorry. Excellent question. Mauricio, you want to answer this? Yes, of course. Good morning, Juan Camilo. I hope you're doing well. I want to begin with two or three things that give us a context before we dive into the question. In terms of contract review and the meetings we've had with ANI and with some discussions we've had around legal aspects to the contract becoming what it has become and the contract that we've shared in previous meetings, Malla Vial del Meta is a new scope within the same location. Through all that process, we worked on all of management that was required and an obligation in terms of for real estate taxing, licensing, networks, studies and designs. So the project, which gives the source of the project to have a financial closure, has everything to start works. And so we started actually during February, rainfall mitigation is two minor works that are part of the scope. We started beforehand so we could have an interaction with the region. Previous days, we've shared how we've taken a more important decision in this contract. This contract was originated by Odinsa with a 51% participation. Today, we have 92% participation. We've been absorbing the position of some of our smaller shareholders, and recently, we accredited the financial closure that we had to record with ANI. Having said this, the studies and designs of the financial closure and having a control position, a complete control position of the project, we're getting prepared to start works during June of this year. It's a year as in any work. When you start slower until you're able to open all the fronts. We expect this year investing close to 350 and 200 billion Colombian pesos, between 150 and 200 billion Colombian pesos, sorry. And for next year, we will be around 310 trillion Colombian pesos. This is contract that we are expecting to build between 36 and 40 months in virtue of the construction conditions. Terrain is a bit more docile to build on Llanos Orientales than what we have to build or construct on mountain regions. So that would be the summary. There will be an investment close of 150 billion Colombian pesos, 300 billion next year, and the resources are being managed, and the project counts with all the requirements needed in order for the work to start. Well, thank you, Mauricio. That was very complete. Perfect one. We have no further questions. Okay, thank you all then. Thank you all for being with us today. Thank you for your questions. I want to reiterate any additional topic and completely open to answer. And thank you all for being with us at the end of this a great quarter that we are giving to the market. So a great day for everyone.